Panul lor e vor voi, e vor cuință cu amen. In today's gospel reading, we hear of the Pharisees that approach Christ, and they try to test him, and they ask, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason? And Christ's response is as follows. Because of your hardness of heart, Moses gave you this law. However, from the beginning, God created man, male and female, he created them. And he said to them, for this reason, a man will leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Therefore, they are no longer two, but one body. So now, whatever God has united, let no man separate. We can see from Christ's answer that from the beginning, God's intention was union and not separation. And unfortunately, we know that because of sin, we divide ourselves. Sin divides while Christ unites. And this is true in marriage. This is true in the church. This is true in his kingdom. His plan is communion. His plan is unity. St. John Chrysostom says it beautifully. He says, he who made one rib into a woman shows us that husband and wife are not two bodies, but one. A good example of this is a blacksmith who has two pieces of iron. And he takes them and he has to heat them in a fire until they get red hot. And once they are red hot, he takes them out and he hammers them together so that they are fused together. Once they are forged together, you cannot pull them apart without breaking both of them. Both will be injured in the process. And this is what God does with us, both in marriage and also in the church. He makes us one. The question then naturally is, if God's design is that we are united together and there is union, why is there so much division amongst us today? And the answer is very simple, unfortunately. It's because we prize our independence. We take pride in being independent. And from a very young age, we are taught this. We are taught to stand on your own two feet. Do everything that you can do for yourself. Don't depend on anyone else, we tell our children. And we have been told, you cannot trust anyone. You have to do it by yourself. From one side, this is good advice. It teaches independence. It teaches us how to be resourceful. But if we are not careful, from the other side, that can turn into isolation if we do it too much. The same hardness of heart that Christ speaks about in the gospel today is the root of divorce, is also something that can creep into our lives if we are not careful, and in different places in our lives. We often are told, or at least hear and sometimes even say to ourselves, I don't need any help. I can do it on my own. I don't need to forgive that person because they didn't ask for forgiveness from me, so I don't need to forgive. Or I don't need to go to church. I can pray from home. I don't need to be in a community that's full of hypocrites. I don't need that. I can do it all by myself. But unbeknownst to us, slowly our hearts become divided that way. And we no longer are united together. Separation, we have to remember, never brings life. It does not bring life. Separation brings coldness. An example of this is a log in the fire. At a campfire, you have a log in the fire, and it's warm, and it gives light. But the second you pull that log out of the fire and put it off to the side, at first glance, it seems like it's fine. It's still glowing, it's still burning, it's still giving off heat and even some light. But eventually, the wind starts to blow on it, and it starts to grow cold, and it starts to become extinguished. And the same thing happens to our hearts. When we separate ourselves from our loved ones, from our spouses, from our families, from the church, and from Christ, our hearts become cold. The temptation to separate is not only in our homes and not only in the church, but it exists in our culture and society today. So the question naturally is, then how do we live out this union that God has given us to live? In our families, we must understand and teach our children that marriage is not a contract. It is not a piece of paper that we sign today, and then when we don't want to anymore, we sign another piece of paper. But rather, marriage is a sacrament. In the wedding service, the priest does not say, "The bride and groom have united themselves together." But in our prayers, the priest says, "The Lord God, may he crown them with glory and honor." It is God who unites people together, not us. God unites us together. God unites husband and wife together, and that union must be guarded with forgiveness, with humility, and with faithfulness. In the church, there are many factions, we'll call them, many groups, many divisions within the church. We have to learn, we are not saved as individuals, but rather we are saved as members of one body. We must remember that when we gather together, both for the divine liturgy, also when we confess Christ as our Lord, and when we receive Holy Communion, we do it together. We don't do it separately. And if you look, all of the prayers in the Badarak, all the prayers in the liturgy, with the exception of two, which I can talk about another time, but all the prayers, all the litanies of the deacons, all the hymns that are sung, all of them are plural. It's always, we do these things. We beseech the Lord. We pray to you. We ask of you. It's never individual. It's never I. It's we. And we must protect this unity in the church by resisting gossip, by resisting grudges, and resisting falling into division and taking sides in an argument. And then in society today, we see lots of division. I'm sure all of us have heard and read about in these past 2 weeks about Charlie Kirk's assassination that took place. Whatever you may think of his politics, it doesn't matter now. What I think we can agree on is that his murder has shaken this country and has shaken this world. Many people are angry, are upset, are full of vengeance, and full of division. And the question then becomes, as Christians, what are we supposed to do? As Christians, we are called to love the ones who hate us. Love those who hate us. And the question then is, why? Why should we love someone who hates us? Why should we love someone who doesn't like our faith, who hates the way we live, who hates the way we believe? Why should we love that person? And Saint Ignatius of Antioch from the first century says it beautifully. He says, Christianity is greatest and is strongest when the world hates it. That is when Christianity is strong. And we have that today still. So we are called to do the following. We are called to speak the truth, not to keep quiet. We are called to pray for those who suffer and who mourn. And we are also called not to lose hope in the people who are against us, the people who don't believe in what we believe in. We are not called to demonize them, but to Christianize them. We are called to bring Christ to them because I can almost guarantee you they don't know Christ. If they knew who Christ was, they wouldn't be against us. They would be for us. So, I ask that we remember our Lord's words from the gospel today. What God has joined together, let no man separate. Let us guard the union of our marriages and our homes. Let us defend the unity of the church. And let us work for peace, for solidarity, and to enlighten society with Christ's light, which makes us enlighteners as well. Amen.